Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like growing up in the home of a famous athlete? What kind of expectations exist? What about pressures or stress would you have to go through growing up in a home like that? And what are family dynamics like? We know that each family is unique. And yet at the same time, there are relatable qualities that we can all connect with, such as the story with our guest today. His name is Kele'i Kenny. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know the life-changing, hope-filled, miraculous capacity, power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That He can take a broken life, someone who is feeling helpless, even hopeless, and turn that life around to something that is so beautiful, so hopeful and powerful, so in turn life-changing for others who get to know Him. That can be your story today. If you've ever felt challenged, if you've ever felt like you didn't have anywhere to go, you tried all kinds of different things and it didn't work, that's why we love to tell the story of how much the Lord loves you, that He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ has touched the life of Kele'i Kenny and Alfredo Canencia, we call him Pastor Coach, myself, and others. But dear friend, you can experience the love of Christ this very moment. He was born and raised in Aiea. Kele'i Kenny played Little League baseball. Baseball really became his sport. Son of a famous athlete. We all know him in Hawaii. Dick Kenny, a star at Michigan State. Went to a Christian elementary school. Kele'i went to the Children's House, where God did His first miracle in his life. In the third grade, he was sexually abused from the ages of 5 to 10 by a boy close to the family. And during those years, he was introduced to pornography. He didn't know what he was doing, that it was wrong, till his parents confronted the person for doing the same thing to his 5-year-old nephew. That's where his life was shattered. Kele'i Kenny is here to tell us, fill in the blanks, fill in those spots, to tell us what his journey was like after that. I believe you're going to be filled with hope today. But let me warn you, the things that we're going to talk about are not easy to discuss and maybe a little discomforting even to hear, because it might touch close to home, and I know how that can be for all of us. It can be a little uncomfortable in those moments, but it's through that where breakthroughs take place. Well, here we are, Coach, with Kele'i. Kele'i, welcome to our show.
Morning, Danny. Morning, Coach.
Well, you know, as we talked early on, we realized the breadth of what we're going to be discussing is just that. So, you know, really, this is part one of our two-part special. Kele'i, where did you grow up?
Born and raised in Aiea on the island of Oahu, right above Waimalu, up in Newtown. Newtown is where I was raised.
What was it like growing up there?
It was good. Great community, baseball community. You know, rivalry with Pearl City District. But it was at a time when Little League had a hold of both IA and Pro City. So it was a baseball community. It was every weekend, everything I did was revolved around that sport growing up in IA. So it was at a time where if you weren't playing baseball, you were being unproductive with your life, so to speak. So, yeah. So it was good. You know, did normal things growing up with my family, going to the beach. Was raised in the ocean by my dad. But mainly, if I could sum it up, it was growing up in IL, it was baseball. That was the one word that I always remember is baseball.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would have to say my dad. Because, you know, realizing at an early age who he was, I didn't know he was famous until I got a little older, that just following him in his footsteps athletically, it influenced me. That became my life, where I wanted to pursue his footsteps in sports and just carry on the family name. So I would have to say just him being who he was is what influenced me a lot growing up, taught me how to play sports and stuff.
Did you experience pressures, stresses that came along with that?
Absolutely. Everywhere I went, every little league team, the whole community knew who my dad was. But everywhere I went, tryouts for either IL or when I got into CONMEBOL, playing baseball up there, it was, oh, who's your dad? Or who's Kenny? Like, oh, I'm Kenny. Oh, who's your dad? Oh, your dad is Dick Kenny? I said, yeah. Oh, you got big shoes to fill. So it was there that, you know, there was a lot of expectation just because my dad was who he was. So, yeah, there was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's good pressure and sometimes maybe negative pressure because you realize you have to live up to his footsteps or his name.
Yeah.
But, you know, it helped open up some doors for you and, you know, where coaches could recognize you and see the talent that you have.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It felt like I was kind of a shoo-in just because my last name was Kenny. And the older I got, I realized the magnitude of, wow, this is kind of cool. My dad is actually a pretty cool known guy, so I didn't really know that growing up. He just was dad to me.
Yeah.
What happened when you were young, 5 years old, that we could come back to it, and we will, but what happened when you were a boy that utterly put a monkey wrench in your life?
Oh, when I was 5 years old, I was sexually abused by an older boy in my family. Actually, that was close to my family, was considered family. All the way up to about the age of 10, so 5 years, sexually abused. Things were done to me and were expected to be reciprocated. And this pattern took place over a course of 5 years. And that's the monkey wrench that you're talking about. That whole incident kind of, I didn't know it at the time, but shaped my life and how I handled my life and the way I had acted all the way up until I got older.
Now, these things happen. A person could feel victimized. A person could feel as though it was their fault. But it's so painful that it causes people to react in various ways to cope. What was your way?
Well, I know that after I found out that what had happened to me, it felt, like you said, it felt like it was my fault. I felt taken advantage of. I felt rejected. I felt discarded.
How did you find out that this was wrong?
Oh, my parents had confronted this person in my house when I was about 10 years old. They confronted this person because he was actually doing the same thing to my 5-year-old nephew. He was sexually abusing my 5-year-old nephew, and I was eavesdropping on the side of the room. And as my parents were laying into this person, you know, that's where everything changed. I realized, oh, what was going on in my life, what was being done to me, or what vice versa, what I was doing, this is wrong. You know, this is something that, according to my parents, shouldn't be taking place. So that's where my life literally got shattered, where that's where I kind of stuffed it deep down inside of me. And I made a vow to myself that no one's ever going to ever know about this. So you know, I was just filled with a lot of, you know, rejection and hurt. But how I coped with that, stuffing it down, I was always anxious, and I didn't realize why I was so, like, on the edge. But I turned to drugs, and it got started when I was 13 years old, going to Kamehameha. I guess you could say it was guilty by association. Maybe it was the wrong crowd, but the moment I put my lips on my first doobie and I started getting stoned, everything, that anxiety and that pressure inside of me, it went away. So I knew at that moment that I found my out. I found my escape, which was marijuana at the time. And unfortunately, that progressed to a heavier drug addiction as I got older. In ninth grade, I started using acid and cocaine for the first time. And then by 10th grade, I was completely strung out on crystal meth, or ice, as we call it in Hawaii. So that's how I coped. It wasn't a level like marijuana and all these other drugs are on different levels. It was just another drug to me that would get the same result, which has helped me just suppress and forget about everything. So
pain so deep that... And a young person... A young person may not have or does not have the infrastructure to process. I guess this is very meaningful because I know the end game as to what God has called you to do, and we're gonna fill in as we go along. But you are in a position today where the Lord has opened up tremendous influence in the lives of young people who very many times are misunderstood or not understood. And you have entree into their hearts, their lives. We're going to hear about that as we continue to unpack the story of Kelly Kenny. A life that has started with pain, and then it will grow into more pain. It will even become hideous with regard to what took place and how it impacted others. And in the meantime, a young man with so much promise becomes isolated. Isolated within himself, lonely, even detached. I don't know about you, if you've ever felt that way, you're going to get hope today. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me call
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
This happens all the time. In fact, you might say there are people who are experiencing this right now. Right now, maybe where you're listening, if you were to look over the cubicle or look into the next office or think about the person right beside you, they might even be feeling this very same thing. What I'm talking about is detachment in life, a loneliness. There are certain seasons in our year where people begin to feel the swell of it more and more. Many people are depressed. There are people who are contemplating in utter helplessness. They're contemplating ending it all. I mean, it gets that bad in life. But we're here to tell you, if you're experiencing that, hang on. There's hope in Christ. And if you know of somebody who is in that place, number one, it's good that you know. Because very often things happen and we're so distracted and so busy with our lives, we don't even realize it. But if you're aware of it, there's hope for you and for them. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and we're here with Kili'i Kenny, who is sent by God today, we know, to share about his life, what it's like to be a teen on drugs, what it's like for him to be able to say, all my life as a young person, I felt detached, I felt lonely, like I never fit in. To find out more about this program, to get the program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, get that and other resources for free. And as I normally say, go ahead and share it with a friend. thegoodlifehawaii.com.
And you know, Kili, you told us earlier how, well, this drug addiction was continuing, or this pattern of drugs, till you were age 22, from age 13 to 22, and things were happening in your life. But you share a story about when you were skateboarding one day at Momilani Elementary, and you found a Bible. And tell us about that.
Okay, so I'm 22 at the time. It's in 2002, October about, and I'm skateboarding through Momilani. Skateboarding was my other go-to, surfing and skateboarding, but I was skateboarding through the school, Momilani Elementary, and I stumbled across this green Bible. I actually have it in the studio right now. I find it, and you know, growing up in a Christian elementary, I knew the rules. I knew all the stories, you know, from preschool to sixth grade. I heard all about all these heroes, so I knew all about that stuff. And I had checked out Grace Bible, like, 1998, 99 with this girl I was dating at the time. So I knew all about this stuff. I knew they were having a church. So I take this Bible, and my friend who's with me, he's not a Christian, he's like, oh, my gosh, you're taking a Bible. You're going to go to hell. And I was like, no. I plan on reading this, so it's all good. So just being in a place of just brokenness after I'm approaching my 23rd birthday, and I'm still doing drugs. 10 years on drugs. And just from little micro disappointments throughout the way, girl rejected me, this, all these hurts adding up. I'm literally at the end of my rope. I'm starting to think about ending my life because, you know, I'm a monster. I don't even know who I am anymore being on drugs this long. So I go home and I start reading Proverbs in the Bible. And, Proverbs is a book of wisdom for those of you who don't know, but, just reading how the righteous are and how the wicked are, there's two different spectrums and where they stand with God. So I realized after reading Proverbs, you know, the righteous man this and the wicked that, I realized that I'm everything wicked in Proverbs. And according to what I'm reading, the wicked, you know, they got the short end of the stick with God. So I didn't want to be on that short end. I knew that I didn't want to go to hell, but I just didn't want to be on this planet. And that's the reason why I didn't kill myself is, one, because I had heard, you know, I don't know if this is true, but I heard growing up that if you take your life, that's a one-way ticket to not heaven. So that alone made me scared. And two, I just thought, if I do this, how are my parents, I can't do this to my parents. And my siblings, who also, you know, how would they handle it? And I just felt like I couldn't put my family through that. So that's the reason.
You talked about being a monster, you know, from 13 to what,
23.
And now you find the Bible in a very dramatic way, especially as we're going to, again, fill in the gaps of what happened afterwards.
Yeah.
But what kind of monster? What did you become like throughout the years?
Throughout the years, I was a real naughty boy. I did a lot of things to people. I hurt people. I stole a lot. The way I treated people, like, I turned a lot of people onto to ICE just so, for the mere fact that I knew that this drug was destroying me. So my attitude was, oh, welcome to my world.
Misery loves company?
Yeah, so I used to turn people onto this drug and just get them. And I would laugh when their life would start to shatter. Like, oh, look at him. I'm like, oh, welcome to my world. Try walk a day in my shoes and experience the type of the hurt that I'm experiencing. And if I could make you hurt, that made me feel better. I used to laugh at it. Like, oh, look at this guy. He's falling apart. Oh, look at this guy. And but all the while, my life was falling apart. You know, I quit baseball my senior year. I lied to my coach at the time. I told him I had to go get a job and work. But I was high as a kite when I talked to him. And, you know, I just was such a really insecure individual that I would hurt people to push them away so I could keep them at a distance. Because I thought, you know, if someone close to my family could do this to me and abuse me when I was young, who are you? Who are you, Danny? Who are you, Pastor Coach?
Yeah, right.
You must want something from me. And being in the industry of drugs and selling drugs also, people always want to take. There's always a string attached where if you're being nice to me, you're trying to manipulate me to get my drugs or you're trying to get my money. And that's the type of person I was. I was really, really manipulative. I used to always get what I wanted. If you had money or drugs or both, I was going to get both. Somehow, I would end up with your drugs in my pocket or I'll get your money and get you to go buy the drugs. So I just was a...
You actually was a hurt person.
I was really hurting.
So hurt people hurt other people.
Yeah.
And it was like a defensive mechanism where you keep them away.
Yeah.
But you see their lives falling apart and hurting and you are hurting.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a spiral going downwards.
Let's look at it from a different perspective. Yeah. Tell us what you put your parents through.
Oh, man. You know, they always say kids give their parents grief, but I think I went the extra mile just to make sure my family knew. The way I treated them was super disrespectful. I was always getting grounded, but I was never grounded because I would just leave the house anyway. And it got to the point as I got older, you know, in Hawaii, they have a term, you get lickings. I got lickings all the time, but that's all it was. You know, like, okay, I'll get a couple slaps here and there, but it's good. I'm just going to leave the house. Or I was grounded my whole senior year, and I was told I couldn't go to my senior prom, but I went anyway. And it got to a point where my dad was an outreach counselor at Pearl City High School for many years. You know, he was known in his occupation. And I remember there's this one night I blatantly said to his face, he said, oh, how does it feel, Dad? He said, oh, what do you mean? I said, how does it feel that, you know, you go to work and you try to help control all these kids' lives, but you have no control of your own kids? How does that feel? You know, you're like big for nothing, because he's a big Hawaiian guy. And I told him that, and it made him cry, and I felt really good. I don't know. I was in such a place of just being disrespectful. And on top of that, they were in denial that I was on drugs until 2002 when it all unfolded. They were in denial. They just thought, you know, what is wrong with this kid? Why is his attitude so stink? But when I look back at it now, it was just basically a big cry for help. But I didn't know how to ask for help because I didn't trust them.
There are parents that are listening today, grandparents that are listening today.
Yeah.
Loving, caring aunties and uncles that are listening today, and they have their own version of Kili'i Kenny in his 13 to 23 year window.
Yeah.
When you're talking, their heart, they have heard what you have said through their own child. They are feeling what your parents have felt, that feeling of just a utter helplessness and utter despair. We've done all we can, as best we can, and it's not enough. Kelly, what would you say to a dear parent on this side of things now, in Christ? What would you say to them?
I do know this. What I would say to the parents is, you know, sometimes it's the things that you don't say that hurt the kid. It's maybe they've been longing for that. I'm proud of you, you know. And I never got that growing up, and that's what made me mad at my parents, being an athlete. But being on this side of the spectrum now is don't give up on them. Because if you're a Christian and you're sowing God's seed in them, that seed will eventually fall on good soil. You just need to keep praying for them. You need to keep at it. But just know that don't take it personal, because there's definitely, I've come to a conclusion that there's a deeper root of hurt that's going on. And all of this that's I guess, so-called manifesting, is this behavior that's manifesting in their lives is the cause of a deeper root. And I think if you could build that relationship with your kids again and how to get them to that place of uprooting, to see that root, I think that's where a lot of healing takes place. Because there's definitely, I look at drug addicts, I work at the prison, I see, and the homeless, I see they're all on drugs, and all it is that's a mess. There's a deeper hurt that's going on, and they just can't cope, like we talked about earlier. So they're just coping. So parents out there, I wouldn't lose hope. I'll keep praying. At the same time, try as hard as you can to point them to Jesus. But at the same time, for your own life, keep your eyes on Jesus, you know. Always look at Jesus.
Were you able to, years later, reconcile with your dad?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, at the end of the rope, 2002, finding the Bible, I went crazy. That's the reason why I was starting to think I got to quit drugs. So December 2002, I'm literally at the end of my rope.
I want you to just hold right there.
Oh, okay.
We're going to come back to this being at the end of your rope.
Yeah.
We got to hear about that. We want to hear about that. It just means so much. It just caught me when you said, oh, yeah, there was reconciliation with that.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Because when you spoke with him in that way, and that's just one example of how rough it was, how raw it was. But then there's reconciliation. You just spoke hope.
Yes.
To a mom or dad.
That's right.
Okay.
You just spoke hope to a grandparent, an auntie or an uncle. And when we come back, we'll talk about the process. He's sharing the process of hope. Hope in Christ for you and for me. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It's not always that it happens. In fact, it's very rare. It's rare that we have a guest that actually brings props into the studio with him, because each one tells a story of what happened in his life. It's almost like he has these touch points.
Yes,
but they're real touch points that remind him. It speaks of who he is. It speaks of how God speaks to him and how God relates with him. It also tells me that you have a way to you're a communicator, because.
Yeah.
We see things, we remember things a lot better than if we just hear them. That's a fact. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia. Our guest today, Kenny, and as he speaks, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I'm looking at another. What is this, Coach, that we're looking at? What are we seeing here sitting in the chair next to Kelly?
We see a jar.
I'm actually looking. Here in Hawaii, it's what is called it's jade, mochi delight. I know what's in there, but there's nothing in there. It's an empty jar, so it has to have much more meaning. If you're listening in and you're not from Hawaii, we want to welcome you. You are dearly welcome to be a part of us. A mochi delight is kind of it's a peanut cracker with some sweet flavor, but it's also a different assortment of colors.
I can taste it already.
Yeah, as I'm describing it. But it's a snack. It's a snack, but some of us will consider it a delicacy here in these islands. But this jar, tell us the story of the jar, Kelly.
So this is after I find the Bible, 22 years old. Well, this is after my birthday, which is on December 17th. So this is fast forward to 2002, December 24th. I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm bursting at the seams. I can't take any more hurt. I want to kill myself, but I can't because I don't want to go to hell. So I'm just pleading with God to just take me off of this planet already. So I knew I needed to change. I didn't know how I was going to do it. You know, all my friends are drug addicts. I have a strained relationship with my parents. I have nowhere to go. So December 24th, I load up my ice pipe for the last time, and I smoke my brains out. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm gonna quit. I'm going to quit tomorrow. This is it. And the reason I chose December 24th is because I didn't want to thank God on his birthday. I was like, technically, you weren't born yet, so you can forgive me tomorrow. So 12.
You are creating your own. theological concepts.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I knew like
becoming very creative.
I knew Jesus was born on Christmas, so I was like, I don't want to offend him on Christmas. So that's his day.
Yes.
Right now it's the 24th. You can forgive me tomorrow. So, I'm lying there at I smoked the last of my stash at 12 at night to 6:30 in the morning. I just start laying into God. I just start questioning him. Why is my life like this? Why? You know, why is everything, every question I ever had, Danny and Coach, I just started asking God. And, you know, I was starting to hear voices. That's why I wanted to quit. Because when you smoke a lot of ice for a long time and you stay up for days on end, you start to hear things. So I realized I need to change. I need to quit. I start asking God all these questions. And slowly but surely, this one voice starts coming through and it starts sounding like my dad. So I start just talking to that one. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just ask you all the questions. And I believe you're God because you have all the answers. So I was like, you know, God, why is my life like this? Why did my girlfriend leave me at the time? And he's like, you know, we talked about getting married. And that voice, God just said, you know, you're not ready for that yet. And I said, you know, why did I get sexually abused growing up? Why did that have to happen? I didn't get an answer then, but I do know now that, you know, we live in a fallen world, broken to sin. Things are bound to happen. And I say, you know, God, why do I do so much drugs to the point where I'm trying to kill myself every time I do drugs? And I never understood why I was the way I was. And, you know, this voice, God just started to talk to me. And he said, you know, you're coping and you're masking all the hurt from what happened when you were a kid. And that whole, your whole high school life, all of your teens was such a front. It was a mask because you thought if anybody found out why you were the way you were, no one would accept you. So I just went with it. I went with that reputation and on top of coping. But, you know, I told God, you know, God, everything in my life sucks. Everything happy goes away. It's so short lived. Like, no sense even smile at a joke. No sense laugh anymore because I'm going to be sad again anyway. So I just, by default, was always sad and isolated. So I told God, you know, like when you go to a bank or an accountant, like how you deposit money, you withdraw money. I need some place like that where I can go and deposit my happy memories so I can go there and retrieve them. So I know that it's there. And I say, you know, God, I need a cookie jar. I need a jar where, you know, I can put my memories in it and I can put stuff in it and know that it's there and it won't spoil. You know, the jar will keep it from spoiling. And God just came through loud and clear. And he told me, you know, your heart is a jar. And with Jesus in your heart, nothing in your life will ever spoil again. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm only going to do this, but you have to promise me one thing. He said, what? I said, I'm going to rededicate my life to you, but you have to promise me in heaven there's no more tears. Because I cannot fathom a future of more crying. I can't. I'd rather go to hell. If there's crying in heaven, I don't want to go there. So, you know, God said, I promise. So I did it. I went to Christian Elementary. I knew the rules. I asked Jesus back into my heart. And I said, okay, now what do? I just apparently gave you my life. And God told me to go skateboarding at 6:30 in the morning. And I was like, I know I'm kind of crazy, God, but skateboarding is kind of, at this hour, why now? And he told me straight up, you said you have no more questions for me. Why are you questioning me now? So I said, okay, I pack up my stuff. I jump in my car. My mom's awake. She's freaking out. It's 6:30. Where are you going? I said, you know, I'm going to go skateboard. I'll be back. Don't worry. I'm not going to kill myself. So I go to these mini half pipes in Hawaii Kai, and I'm just processing this whole 6-hour conversation I had with God and just remembering everything. And I was like, you know, God, I believe it's all going to be okay. So the sun is rising over the mountain. I'm singing that song from Bob Marley, Three Little Birds, you know, smile with the rising sun. It's going to be okay. I have this sense that everything's going to be okay. So I get to the ramps. I'm on the top of the ramp. And in my first, I guess, act of faith or step in obedience to God, you know, I'm going to go skateboard. So I drop in on one side of the ramp. And when I hit the bottom of the ramp, I remember everything just gets lifted off of me. All that hurt, that filth, that shame, everything I was dealing with for the last decade got lifted off. And I remember I just started weeping. And you know, there's elderly people walking
their morning walk.
Yeah, their morning walk. Hey, good morning, Merry Christmas.
Christmas Day.
And I'm crying on the ramp. And I skated for like 2 hours straight, and I just had the time of my life. And I knew that I had a sense everything was gonna be okay. So I'm driving home, and I realize I'm not high anymore. You know what I mean? I just smoked a lot of ice the night before, And I realized, you know what, I'm not high. You know what, this is good. So I get home. My parents are kind of looking at me. It's 9 in the morning. They're like, okay, whatever. So I grab, I go to open presents with my family. And my dad, before I open one, he gives me this humongous box. And my dad was a jokester, so I kind of knew there might be something tiny in there. So I grab this big box, like, oh, what could this be? So I open it, and staring at me is this jar that you're talking about, Danny. I pull out this empty jar, and I just get floored. I'm like, holy smokes. I'm talking to God the whole night about a jar, and I'm staring at an empty jar. And my eyes start to tear up. And my dad looks at me, and he throws a case of peanut butter cups at me. That's to put the candy in the jar. What the hell is wrong with you? So I was like, oh, man. So finish opening presents. That's the start of the jar. But fast forward a little bit. I go upstairs, and I'm in my room, and I just remember I started crying. I started staring at the jar, and I started remembering everything I went through, and I just started thanking God, like, you know, thank you. And I knew everything was going to be okay because he heard me. And my niece's name is Joy, and she was coming over to open presents. And I'm crying uncontrollably in my room. And I tell God, you know, I have to get it together so I can see my niece Joy. As soon as I said her name, I just got flooded with immeasurable joy to the point where I'm crying. And I did it again. Joy. Joy flooded me again. I did this 3 times. And I finally said, you know what, God, I get the picture. I get the picture. Thank you so much. And it was at that moment where God flooded my heart again with joy and just love, and I'm crying. And it was that moment, like the prodigal son, when the son came home and the father saw him far off. And it said the father fell on his son's neck and he kissed him. And I knew at that moment that God was embracing me and holding me like a prodigal son. And it was to the point, it was an embrace that I couldn't explain myself. I was quiet crying, and all I could say was thank you. And I knew at that moment that God was embracing me.
You felt like the burdens were taken off of you, the hurt, the pain, and for a moment you felt pure joy where you just knew that God was near you. He was with you.
Yeah, God was holding me, and I couldn't explain it. And my family didn't know what was going on, but when I saw that jar and went upstairs to my room, and man, I never felt that ever. I never, ever have been flooded with that. And being hurt and broken for 10 years, you know when you're sad, you know what joy is. So it was something that to this day, when I look at the jar, I remember that morning in my room and just receiving it Christmas morning. Every time I look at it, it has special meaning to me. It's not just food. So
this is a reminder to all of us about capturing memories. Hold on to those empty jars. It might be empty to somebody else, but it's full of meaning for you. And we all have something. They're symbolic. They take us back to that place where God met us, or where God intervened, or where God began to turn the course, turn the tide of our emotional flow, so that we could move, or the direction or our vision. Significant moments, we need to grab hold of them and remember. And sometimes God uses those moments to bring us hope. Well, today, Kelly Kenny reminds us of that example. The process of his transition was beginning to happen, as he explains. But there were a few more rough spots along the way. Because, you know, if you've been strung out on drugs for 10 years, at some point you got to go through a detox process. We'll talk about that, what happened. And remember, this is only part one of a 2-part feature. So stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
In the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry.
plus a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmi of Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yeah, things start going well in life. You already have a sense that things are changing. You know, you've been there, I've been there. It happens. But when things begin to change for the better, they might not always be, it might not always be a smooth path, such as the case with Kili'i Kini. He had to go through, I mean, after 10 years of drug abuse, drug use, drug addiction, he was going to have to go through a process of detox, a transition. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, my co-host Alfredo Canencia and Kelly Kenny. To find out more about our program, I would say, hey, you know, if you're tuning in right now, you want to get this program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. If this ministry has touched you, perhaps God would lay on your heart to stand with us both prayerfully and financially. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. We've got a way that you can begin to participate with us and hold hands with us so that we can take this program to more and more people. Shows just like this. Kili'i, what happened after Christmas Day as you accepted Christ, your life was about to change? What took place in relation to your drug use?
I went cold turkey, using drugs for 10 years, complete 180 Christmas morning. No more drugs anymore. Unfortunately, when you're caught up in that for such a long time, your body freaks out. And December 31st, January 1st, I just started experiencing withdrawals where I was super tired. I would sleep for days. I would literally sleep all day, barely eat, sleep again. I was always cold, like freezing cold, and my body would go into convulsions, like tremors. I would uncontrollably shake. And had like crazy anxiety attacks all the time. Shortly after all of that, during the tremors and whatnot, I go crazy. I go absolutely nuts where I start hearing voices. You know, the reason why I want to quit smoking ice, you know, those voices come back, but this time I'm completely sober. So I don't understand what's happening. I don't know what's happening to my body. The best way I could put it is I felt like everything I had ever done, all the drugs, was happening to me at different times, where I would feel high on ice, then I'd feel like I ate mushrooms or acid, and then I'd be like nothing. And then it was just this uncontrollable roller coaster for like a good 3 to 4 months of just being out of control, where I'm totally conversing with these voices. I'm clinically insane. But yeah, that's what happened. I went through withdrawals and it lasted for quite a while. And I thought,
how long?
About the third month is the middle of the second, going into the third month, it got super bad where, you know, I'm thinking I'm Jesus Jr., where first it was Jesus, then Bob Marley came into the mix, and now I'm supposed to be the final dude. Like, that's just how crazy I was. And, you know, I thought God's name was Vince. You know, I thought he was trying to convince me this whole time with the jar. So I said, you know, God, you're a con, and your name is Vince. So, you know, I thought God's real name was Vince. But just to give you an idea of where I was clinically insane. So right around the middle of March, my mom takes me to this substance abuse clinic to go get treatment. And I realized there that I'm completely crazy. So.
Now what happened was you're sitting there. You know, that clinic, and you see your mom break down.
Yeah.
What happens when you see that?
Oh, so the doctor questioned me, and she asked me all these questions, and there's a checklist that they have. And unfortunately, she told my mom, you know, with ice use, consistent ice use, and schizophrenia, ice heads mimic that disease to a T, so we don't know what is what. But as of right now, been like this too long. You might be like this for a year. If you're like this for a year, we're just gonna say it's schizophrenia, and you're gonna be like this the rest of your life. And when she read that news, my mom just broke down. And I remember at that moment feeling so low, feeling super selfish, because here I am trying to deal with my own life, cope with my life, but I had no idea that my actions were devastating my family throughout the course of the 10 years. So just seeing my mom break down, things began to change in me, where I started praying for her. I said, you know, God, if I'm like this the rest of my life, it's okay. I did all the drugs. I deserve it. But just comfort my mom. And from there, that's where healing with my mom started to take place, where it didn't matter what I did anymore. I know that her crying just already, you know, she's broken. It's obvious that she loves me. I'm still their kid. So
you go home now.
Yeah.
And then your dad comes home.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, my parents were in denial that I was on drugs this whole time, and finally it's out in the open. You know, their son was a drug addict for 10 years. Shocking. I'm going crazy. And when I get home, you know, me and my dad, we had a rocky, we weren't really close. I pretty much ignored him for the most part. But when I came home, I remember my mom told him what had happened. And I remember he just walked up to me and he put his arms around me. And I started crying, and he looked at me and he said, "How you doing, son?" And I said, "Oh, I'm doing good." And he said, "You know, that's a tough pill to swallow, yeah." And I said, "Yeah, you know it is." He said, "You know, everything's gonna be okay." But I knew at that moment that everything I had done up until that point, it didn't matter. You know, I'm here now. My dad's hugging me. He's approving. I feel approved again as his son. That he is proud of me, no matter the circumstance. So that's where God began to heal between me and my parents.
How did it feel to be hugged by your dad?
Oh, man. You know, I felt so bad for just what I had done to them growing up, just putting them through all of that, and just being so hurt and distant from them. And just to feel my dad's arms around me, knowing, like, it felt like when I was in Little League again, every time I would strike out, I would cry. I was so emotional growing up. He put his arms around me and he always told me it's going to be okay. I felt like a little kid again. I felt like that little kid. And he just put his arms around me and I knew that he loved me. And my dad was always straightforward, like, face the music. He's like, "It's a tough pill to swallow, son." I said, "Yeah, it is, Dad." And I didn't say I'm sorry, but he knew I was sorry. I was sorry. But it felt, I don't know, man. It felt so good to be approved and accepted, because my whole life I had longed for that approval. Just from my dad and just from my peers and my friends, I always felt like I didn't fit in. And at that moment I know, you know what, it's gonna be okay. Even if I'm like this the rest of my life, I'm gonna be okay. I know I'm gonna go to heaven, but I know that my parents love me. We can go from here. So, yeah, but
someone who has experienced detachment, loneliness, and isolation, and who has experienced the love of God and even the love of his earthly father, to experience that hug, it's obvious that this comes from a very deep place in Kinney's life. But you know, that capacity to experience love, and now it turns into a capacity to give love. And that's why God has positioned this person who's sitting in studio with us today to share the love of Christ with many young people today who are detached, lonely, and losing hope. Yeah. Sometimes we don't know the reason why we go through what we go through. It seems senseless, painful, and it's hard to put into words why we do what we do or why we go through what we go through. But on this side of things, it begins to make sense because God has a purpose for it all. Kelly has shared that there is hope for you, parent.
That's right.
And there's hope for you, grandma, grandpa. And there's hope for you, dear one. If you're feeling isolated, you can experience the love of Christ as well. In part two of this two-part special, we will go into talking with Kelly about the vision, the dreams that God has placed in his heart, and how God has positioned him today to already begin to see fruit being born. You know, there were people who invested in his life. Now he's investing in the lives of others. And he's had an opportunity to meet with some of those people. And the stories will connect even further. And you, dear one, will be amazed. We thank you for joining us today. And we thank you, Kelly'i, and Coach, for being with us. We'll be back for part two in this two-part feature. I hope that you've been encouraged by these gut-level thoughts sharing from the life of Kelly'i Kinney. You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, maybe right in the cubicle next to you or right beside you. And this is a perfect moment, if you haven't done so yourself, for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. And to help us with your financial support, make a donation at thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Kelly'i Kinney. Until next time, along with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.